Welcome to CICK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CICK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CICK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CICK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com, or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CICK News. Last year, Alex Cuba, the Latin Canadian music sensation from Smithers, BC via Cuba, won the Grammy for the Best Latin Music Album of the Year, Mendo. But this Grammy Award-winning album wasn't recorded in the fancy high-priced studios of LA, New York, or even Toronto. It was recorded in Cuba's home recording studio in Smithers. Which got us thinking here at CICK News, if Alex Cuba is recording Grammy-winning albums in Smithers, who else is recording and mixing? Turns out there are more than three professional recording studios in Little Old Smithers, and they're all producing top-quality music that could soon follow in Cuba's footsteps. With a deep-rooted history of music in the Buckley Valley, it's no wonder musicians flock to this community. The only question is, who will win the next Grammy? Today, we'll chat with Elijah Larson, Colin Maskell, and of course, the one and only Alex Cuba about why they felt the need to build recording studios in northwestern BC and how they are helping to elevate northern BC's music culture. But first, more than 300 fires are burning across BC at the moment, many of them in the Northwest Fire Center. The Powers Creek wildfire, just a few kilometers from Smithers, has been burning since Saturday with dozens of fire crews, machines, and water bombers attacking the fire over the past few days. Although evacuation alerts and orders have been issued for some residents of the Hudson Bay Mountain Road area, smoke has dissipated and several fires are now under control. However, fire bans across the province are still in place and communities remain on edge as hot and dry weather is expected to persist into the coming weeks. Up next, our deep dive into the recording studios of Smithers.
I'm Elijah Larson, and we are sitting here at Sonoquin Studios in Smithers, BC.
So Elijah, this is a pretty awesome space that you've built here. It sounds like it's fairly new. Maybe tell me a little bit about, firstly, why you wanted to construct the studio and what you did to design it and construct it in the way that you have.
So at our place, I've been operating out of a little shed for the most, like a renoed shed for the last 3 years. And it just got to the point where we were thinking, what do we want life to look like? What do we want, you know, the next 5 years to look like? And we said, we'd like to make a real go of the recording studio and turn it into a more of a real thing. So we hatched the idea to, you know, get a bit of a loan and to build one on our property here in Smithers. And it was a long process of permits and designing and all this stuff. We had a crew of guys who were fantastic come in and build the bones of it, and then we did all the finishing work.
So you built it in kind of this, I don't know what they call it, like a fan kind of design. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, short on one side, yeah, and then opens up to the far side. So was, yeah, this, like, did you, how much time and why did you design it in such this shape?
Yeah.
I'm assuming this is all for making sure to get acoustics the way you want
definitely,
them.
Definitely. So the way the space was made, we have a concrete pad, concrete foundation that it was built on. And the reason we did the concrete was you want to start with the hardest possible, or in my opinion, you want to start with the hardest possible surfaces so you can shape the sound around you, as opposed to starting with carpet where you're committing to a soft sound. But this way, it's hard on the ground and all the walls are wood and it's sheetrock on the top. And so I also did that because I wanted it to be I wanted to be surrounded by a lot of natural stuff. I wanted to be surrounded with stone. I wanted to be surrounded with wood. I wanted to feel like we were still kind of in nature while we were in the studio. And the room is built without with minimal parallel surfaces. So the two long walls are parallel, but on one end of the building, it's 22 feet wide, and on the other end of the building, it's 20 feet wide. So the whole thing is fanned out from one end to the other, and it's also fanned on the ceiling. So it's a shed roof, and it's 12 feet at the top, and it's about 10 feet at the bottom. And that's mostly because you want to have the highest roof possible, because you want to minimize the amount of surfaces that are interacting with each other. So we just built it as big as we could with our budget constraints.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, it looks like a really good job. Now tell me, so it's fairly new, but you've already been quite productive in here. It sounds like you've had a couple few records and more on the way. Primarily, what are you doing with the space right now? What are you recording?
Mm-hmm. We're recording anybody that wants to come in and make a record. So we've done the very, very first record we did in here was a punk record with local boys at the Infirmary, which they just released the first song. Then we did Kim Gucci, which was a record I was really anticipating doing because it's been a plan for quite a few months now, even before building. So Kim Gucci came in with her production team and me as well, and we worked for about 8 days crafting her record, and that was a really special experience. Some days we were 16 hours working on the songs, start in the morning, go way late into the night. So that was really fun. And then a few weeks ago, we did a record from a band called Party Pooper, who are also a local band. So it's been great. It's been great learning the space and figuring out where it shines, its shortcomings, and what sounds good and what's possible. So that's been fun. And we've got a few more records coming up before the fall too.
I guess, tell me a little bit about, you know, how does this process start? Obviously, this is kind of the, you know, jam session space over here, drums, piano set up, a suite of guitars, but then you have your board. So maybe describe to me, you know, what's the process when someone comes into the studio to record something? And you mentioned the workflow. You have a specific workflow in mind here. So maybe explain some of that.
Sure. Yeah, so in this studio, I've got, we can do 24 channels in the studio, so we can do projects big and small. I've got wires, I've got things hardwired into the walls, so we've got a little isolation booth, which is great for, you know, vocals. Next week we're going to be doing an audiobook in here, so he'll be in that room to minimize any of the room reflections and make it sound like you're in the room with him. So that room's all hardwired in, so I can actually plug microphones into the exterior of the wall and have it run into the room, so we can so we don't need to keep the door ajar or anything like that. So that's all hardwired in. Underneath the piano, we've got an audio snake that runs from my desk all the way over there, so we can run mics from underneath the piano, and then as well as just running them straight from the desk. Yeah, and that's always like, you want to have as much flexibility as you can in a studio. You want to be able to be comfortable, you want to be able to be around the desk and do stuff, and then you also, if somebody wants to be on the drums or set up an instrument out in the main space, you want to be able to accommodate that. So you just want to have as much flexibility there. And it's a small space, so it's not that hard in here.
It's interesting, one thing in speaking with Colin earlier about his studio was that it's not just for music and recording. He's doing other things too, other creative projects. You just mentioned an audiobook. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you offer to clients or going to be offering to clients promoting the studio more, that it's not just about music, that we have this huge eclectic mix of artists in this community in the valley, but it seems like you're set up to do a multitude of things. So maybe tell me a little about some of the other things you do other than music.
Sure. Well, out of this space, I'm also a videographer. I would say I'm, for the last couple of years, I've been primarily a videographer, and since the studio has been built, I'm hoping to transition a little bit more into audio. but my experience in both the fields lends itself really well to working with musicians. So we did, I worked with Naomi Kavka last year, maybe a couple of years ago. Time isn't real.
It's all a time warp.
But I did a great project with Naomi Kavka, and we did three music videos in three different locations, and that was really fun. And I was on audio and video for those, and it's a little crazy because you're splitting your brain into video and audio, which are just two different worlds. But we did it, and it turned out really great. You can see them all on her YouTube. It's also something that I'll be offering out of this space. We'll be doing a couple of live recording sessions, so I'll be on video production and audio production for those. But as well as that, I do video production with, you know, things like Town of Smithers and the Chamber of Commerce and businesses and the art gallery and stuff like that. So I've been doing the art gallery openings, their exhibition openings for the last 2.5 years. They were one of the first ones that hired me around the start of COVID. So that's been really consistent. So lots of video work and audio and stuff. Yeah.
Maybe tell me a little about, we talked about this earlier, you know, you're not really promoting the studio full on just yet. It's a lot of word of mouth. But what does that look like? What are you trying to, you know, promote this as? Obviously it's a recording studio. It can do a lot of different things, but you know, how do you attract these people? Like, where do you start in making a business of this?
Mm-hmm. I think for me, I'm in a fortunate situation where I've, been in the area for a long time, and I've toured up and down BC, and I've also been really involved in festival, and I'm artistic director for Kispiox Valley Festival. So I get to talk to a lot of these artists. And I think I've just come to know a lot of the people in the scene, and I like to think the work I do is of a certain quality, and as I do more projects with people, then people will take notice and reach out and say, okay, like, do we want to make a record? Here, like, let's chat with Eli, because it'll turn out really nice. Yeah.
I guess one of the other things that I was, curious about was, you know, just in general, you have the studio, you have the equipment here to do all this. What kind of artists in town would this benefit? And I guess thinking along those lines, you know, what's the big benefit of having professional grade recording studios in a small community? We talked about earlier, Alex Cuba recorded a Grammy-winning album out of his garage, out of his house. And so you don't necessarily need, the big, expensive, city slicker studios anymore. You can create something like this in a rural community that has this deep-rooted history of culture and music, especially, and recorded all in-house, you know, all in the community, out of northern BC, which is probably a first. You know, this is, you know, not every community has this. So what is the draw and what's the impact that this will be able to do in the community and benefit the artists that live here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the reality is some people are making Grammy Award winning records on their phones, right? Like, the technology that's at our fingertips these days is incredible. But the impact, having quality recording facilities this far north in BC, is that the amount of artists that live even just in Smithers is staggering. And for a long time, I think people had to go down to Vancouver or they had to go out of town. And it's really been these last few years, there's been a transition where now, if you want to make a record, you don't have to go far away. You could be in town. And that goes for greater BC too. Like, there's Jordy Walker, who has a studio way far up north. But then between there and here, there's not a whole lot. So we service, everywhere from, you know, everywhere in the north. I mean, I've got people coming up from Vancouver too to do records here. So it's also importing beautiful people to make records. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's not really, I mean, gear helps to make records, but it's really, it comes down to the people that make records, and it's great to have, you know, in this vignette that you're doing here, you're talking to Alex and Colin and me, and I feel like all three of us have much different backgrounds, different levels of expertise in different fields, and we can all offer different things, which is kind of a cool thing. You know, all of us are multi-instrumentalists, and I think the cool thing is there can be a singer-songwriter who's just got a framework of an idea, and they can come in and either place that they go to will be able to craft a record for them. And if we want to bring in our local scene, we have some incredible players just in town. We've got amazing bass players, we've got horn sections, we've got pedal steel players, we've got drummers, we've got everything at our disposal here. And so that's a really cool thing, to utilize local recording studios and also local players to be able to craft a record.
So another question is, I know you've been involved in this industry as a musician. You know, you had a band that was one of the top bands in BC, or the top band in BC, when you were younger. So clearly you've, you know, been around a bit, because, you know, as I mentioned, when I built, you know, my little office there, you know, I have very limited knowledge of, you know, baffles for sound and acoustics and whatnot, but I knew enough to make it good enough that I can record these types of things and it sounds okay. But this is a much higher quality, and I wonder, you know, where did you get the experience or the knowledge to be able to design and build something like this? Like, you must have been around other recording studios to see what works, you know, how this is all put together. Maybe talk a little bit about that. What's your experience and what I guess influenced you and, you know, gave you the knowledge to build something like this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been in and out of studios a lot over the past, you know, 10 years. But really a lot of the planning and the stuff that went into building this studio, it came a little bit from my experience in other studios, but I was just obsessively researching for years. For probably the last 5 years, I've just been obsessed with microphones. I've been obsessed with how sound travels. I've been obsessed with how sound works in a space. I've been obsessed with it's just like a puzzle. You know, you just like spend so much time, and also as you start to build your own spaces, you know, this is probably the eighth space that I've built. But I've operated out of a lot of different spaces. And so each space has had its own struggles and challenges with making it sound good. Because some spaces are just pure trash. And you're like, how do I make something passable in this space? How do I record a guitar in this space? How do I record a vocal in this space and have it sound good? So really, it's just come down to trying to make things sound good wherever I am. And that's led to just this whole world of how sound moves, which is just so much bigger than, unless you've actually looked into it, it's so much bigger and so much more complex than you can even imagine. And I feel like I've still only scratched the surface of it. So I've implemented a lot of those things into this building, and even still I look back and I could have done a lot of things different during the build, but it's served me well, and it will continue to serve me well in the next many years.
Just the last one for you, you know, where do you go from here? It looks like obviously it's functional. You're recording, producing out of here. So what's next for the studio?
Next for the studio, I would just like to be recording. I'd like to be recording records in here. I'd like to be recording videos in here. Anything that you'd like to record and have it be recorded well, give me a shout. Check out the website. But I would just like to be, I'd like to be busy. I'd like to be, showcasing people in the way that they deserve to be showcased. And, I feel like I'm an easy person to work with too. So even if you have starts of songs, I'm here to help develop it. I'm here to support you in your artistic journeys too. So I just like to be busy and to keep making beautiful things out of the space.
Okay. Elijah, thanks so much.
Thanks, Dan.
I'm Colin Maskell, and we're here at Old Highway Studios in Smithers, where we record music, we create music. I do a little bit of teaching out of here as well, drum circles and saxophone lessons and this kind of thing. Sorry, what was the other part?
No, that was it.
That was it.
Old Road, what was it?
Old Highway.
Old Highway.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. Why? How did the name come to be?
Well, you know, names are tricky. As I'm finding out with, well, I've got two little kids, so their names were tricky, and, you know, band names are tricky, and studio names, you want to have something that's going to, you know, be catchy, but also a bit about what the place is. And, well, where we're located is the old highway to Smithers. So, you know, if you don't close the doors tight, sometimes you can hear it. And so we figured, well, Old Highway Studios. There you go.
Nice.
This is not that interesting.
What?
Shazam Studios.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Maybe tell me a little bit about how this all germinated. We kind of talked a little bit a few minutes ago. So you guys kind of moved in here a few years ago. And was this always an idea of I need to build a studio to record, to produce? Or was this something that just you had the space and thought, oh, you know, this might be great. Area, great space for a recording studio.
My dream, and it probably still is partly, but my dream, other than living on a very small island, has always been to have a sort of multi-purpose, multifaceted space that could have live shows, could have recording, could have teaching, could have all sorts of different things in it. And although I can't do all of that here, when we moved into this space, originally I've always been interested in recording, and I've always been interested in sound, and being a saxophone player myself and a composer, I've always doing a little bit of that, always on that creative journey, and the reflective journey through recording, and sometimes professionally as in the past to record. People from when I was in Vancouver and the like. But when we moved here up to Smithers, I didn't really have that. I had a little bit of gear. And when we moved into this spot that we've got, we converted what is now Old Highway Studios into the studio space with the goal of it being a little bit multi-purposeful. So I wanted to teach. I had a business plan. So I wanted to teach saxophone and clarinet and, you know, beginner trumpet and some piano and drums and drum circle, like African drums and world music kind of thing, and flute and all those kind of things, as well as sometimes be able to record bands that I was either playing in or bands that I knew, being on this corridor, this northern corridor, Highway 16, and then, you know, further south, you have a lot of potential for people coming through. And I figured, you know, why not have something that's easy set up? They could just come in here, they could record something, or just create, you know, sort of a creator space too. The reality is that trying to do a multi-purpose space, you need a pretty big facility in order for it to be slick, or you're constantly moving gear. And that's what I found out with teaching, teaching privately. I teach some drum lessons, and I'm not a pro drummer, so I was teaching beginner drummers, but I have two drum kits set up, and then, you know, half an hour later, I'd be setting up for a drum circle, and so you're moving gear all over the place, and although that's not, unto itself, that's not such a big thing, except that. You also got to store stuff. And when it's just you, or it's just you and another person, you know, or however you're facilitating it, it becomes quite arduous to do all those things. So there's some realities in there when you're trying to do many different things.
Yeah.
So I do work like a teaching. I teach elementary music at St. Joe's 3 days a week. So when I started to take that on, I pared down some of my private lessons, and because now I work this other part-time job, I no longer have this wide open or more wide open week for other projects like recording and and such. And being busy with a new family, it's also been pared down a little bit. So for now, right, what we're doing is mostly small projects.
Yeah.
I get a couple of days a week. And if I plan ahead, like for, say, summer, then I can get longer projects. But I like to think I've been sort of revamping how I think about it now is I like to think about it. It's like, well, small projects over long periods of time that you can, you know, you can kind of let them steep a little bit. So I have my own projects too, which I'm working on, and I'm really looking forward to some of the different musicians that I can work with in the Valley that are coming up. Yeah.
I guess that, you know, brings me to the other thing I wanted to touch upon, which was, you know, we have these recording studios. Mm. Obviously, it sounds like you do more than just music. So there's a whole suite of things that we could be recording and using these recording studios for, yeah, to develop local talent from the whole spectrum. So maybe tell me a little bit about your thoughts of what's the availability, the opportunity and impact of having these professional grade recording studios here in the Valley for this deeply rooted cultural hub that is the Bulkley Valley.
That's a well prepared sentence, Dan. That's a lot. I'm trying to remember all those fancy words you used. I think that the real benefit of what you're seeing here in the Valley with recording studios and the like, and probably everywhere, but what we're seeing here is that it's artists that are, like all the other people that you're going to interview, like Eli and Alexis, they're artists. And so, and I'm an artist, right? So this is grown out of a passion for the arts and for sound and wanting to do it yourself. And what's really changed over the past bunch of years with technology, I mean, everybody knows, but is anybody can set up and do it, right? So there's other factors that you, when you actually try and do a little bit more, you got to spend a lot more money actually to get it so that you have a little bit more professional grade. There's your artist interests go into the production side of it. I'm trying to stay on the right train of thought here, but what I think the impact of that is that you know, previously, if you wanted to get your art out there, you had to spend a ton of money to get a little bit of time in a studio. And I think what's really neat about what you can do now, even as a saxophone player or as an artist myself, composer, I can get material that I can work with right away in my own home. And anybody can do that. You've got a little Zoom recorder, you can be like, what do I sound like? Okay, here it is. Now I'm going to sing a different part to it. Mm. Cats. So the impact of that has for, say, being at, like, putting your plank on the, or whatever it's called, you know, like you put your placard up and say, I am a studio. That means that now you're open to other people coming in and A, working with you as the artist that you are. So the artist is expanding their horizons and interacting with the community in a different way. There's a lot of people that do come in here, they don't have an experience with a studio. And so this might be their first time in a studio. And this is not a big studio. But it's more than what your home might be, you know, and it's a medium small, it's just a small studio. It's got great gear, and if I'm here to, you know, facilitate the vision of the person. So in a lot of ways, it's not about the studio, it's about the people that are involved and then them having the resources in the place. You know, like in past experiences, like, okay, I want to work with Colin Maskell in the studio on my album, whatever. Well, you'd hire me, you'd hire the studio, and we go in and, you know, and hope for the best. And whereas now you could just, you know, come in here and it doesn't cost as much and there's more flexibility and that kind of thing. So what does that mean to the community? It means that the community can more quickly elevate themselves, more quickly educate themselves if they're so inclined. You know, they come in, they can record something and it'll cost them, and then that'll be part of their journey in their own artistic vision. I'm not going to say career. It's hard to look at it as a career. Mm-hmm. But and for lots of people, it's not, or it's not a permanent career, but at least in your vision of what you want to get out of it. So in some ways, what we're doing is we're providing a service of just functionality of being able to record something and then get it where it needs to be, whether, you know, ultimately on the internet. Everything's on the internet, so that's your medium, or it's just for playing, or for just for reference, you know, or in the case of the one person play, it's like form. It didn't go on the internet. It's just music, or not music, but sound recording to be used in conjunction with her play. So there's a multitude of things that you might do, and it's just having that resource in kind of connects it a little bit more.
Just the last thing, you know, I know over the years local artists have produced tapes, CDs, albums, sure, themselves. How does this open up maybe seeing more of that as we move forward and getting more of these artists, not only local, but as you mentioned earlier, you know, people passing through, you know, if they know that there's a good recording studio and someone ready to work with them, you know, this opens up a lot of doors. So what does that look like for you?
Yeah, well, for me being available, and for any of the other studios in the Valley to be available, when people come in, sometimes it might be a destination. It's like, oh, I want to go work with that person in this area and do that thing because they have this gear and they have this setup and I really like what they're doing, and it's a chance to workshop that stuff. For people passing through, you know, like, it's like, oh yeah, we're going through there. Our band is playing a lot and we want, you know, we're going to be tight by the time, because that's what we're doing. We're playing every night. We're going to be tight when we come into town. You know, we can hire you to either record a live show or, you know, come in and even just do overdubs or something, you know. The Stones used to do this, and the Beatles did it too, and Led Zeppelin, because they'd have, like, mobile recording studio. And they would, like, some of the songs that Zeppelin did were all, you know, like, something from here and something from there, and, like, oh, I just got them, you know, backstage, and they sang that part, or they played the guitar in that part, and those kind of things. So I think it when people know about it, it opens it up. What's interesting, you said about with the tapes and stuff, and what you're saying about Alexis and being his Grammy Award thing being done in his own house. I mean, if you look at Billie Eilish, she's the same, right? It's like bedroom kind of thing. So there is more to it than just doing it. You also have to have all these connections and, you know, and produce it and get in the right hands and you know, like somebody like Alexis has got this incredible drive to promote himself. And I mean, he's an incredible musician, but he does all that stuff. And it's, so I'm not surprised that he can create something in his own home. And then what's the benefit of, I think that one of the benefits of having somebody else doing it, and he would understand this too, is that once you have what you want, then you can just focus on it as a performance. And then somebody else is pushing the buttons and doing that. And that's a real benefit. And I've learned the hard way some of the drawbacks to not doing that is that you can be split too many ways. As an artist, if you're trying to juggle too many things, then it can be quite overwhelming. And, you know, there's a sacrifice there that's made, but that's one of the benefits of having or being a studio and coming into a studio. Somebody, you got all their gear, you got all their options, plus their their consult and their, you know, a bit of their experience, and they can help you get to your vision.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, Colin, thanks so much for joining me and giving me some of your insight.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for coming by.
Hello, everybody. This is Alex Cuba. I'm here with Dan, sitting in my studio, my brand new studio that I am fortunate enough now to have. I turned my whole garage into a studio about a year ago. Actually, I'm very proud that George Stokes, he built it for me, and I feel the love he put into it. You know, every time I walk into this room, it's like, but yeah, here we are, and it's a pleasure talking to you, buddy.
Yes, same way, Alexis. Well, George Stokes is a guy, is a man who understands music, right? Definitely. So it's good to have someone like him build this. But you've been here a while in Smithers,
yes.
20 years.
Yes.
What was it like when you first showed up? Because it definitely wasn't like this.
You know, it wasn't. I have to say that I think we've known for years that Smithers is a very special community, you know. But when I showed up, music wasn't maybe seen or looked at as something from what someone can make a living. That's the most important thing. And of course, I understand there is a number of reasons for that. But look where we are. Who's going to pursue a music career from up here? Most people think, or maybe this is the old model, the old way of thinking, the old mentality, that in order to pursue music, that maybe at some point in history was, that's the way it was. To make music, to have a living, to make a living from music, you have to be in a city. For the longest time, it was like that, you know, but we know today that technology has made it possible. But anyway, when I moved here, music was something that, was happening already, of course. In town, there were few families, many families that will cultivate music and play, but nobody was looking at it as a profession, you know? And things have changed quite a bit now. I won't hide from you, like I said on the stage the other day when I played at the festival, Midsummer, that there was a moment when I moved here that I thought to myself, what the hell am I doing here? What am I done, you know? And, but, you know, with the help of my biggest supporter, you know, somebody who knows me really well, many times I think she knows me better than I know myself. She said, oh, if you're good, you make it work anywhere. And so what came to be was hard work, focus, embracing with all I got the uniqueness of who I am, which I believe everybody has. Everybody's unique. You just have to see it and embrace it. It's like, you know, when somebody's starting to do the first few steps in music, you write your song, and if it doesn't sound like anything else you heard before, you kind of get insecure about it. But that somebody needs to tell you that's exactly the way, because the songs that everybody knows today were one day weird to everybody, you know, and even to the person that wrote it, right? So I have the support that, you know, a musician can dream to have, you know, which is somebody that, I mean, exactly that, somebody telling you, yeah, be yourself, you know. Yeah, that's it. And Smithers have worked really well for me, you know, to be isolated has exactly enhanced my, whatever I got to say in music, you know, my uniqueness, my way of looking at it. Then a lot of people don't have to think about this, but I'm going to tell you here, you know, today that there has been a lot of challenges for me, as you can imagine, because Latin music in Canada is very new. So people still don't know. Or now they know. But people, when I started, people didn't know the difference between what I was doing and what they will find on the street in Cuba, for example, on a research, and on their vacation or whatever. or a band playing at the beach in Mexico or whatever, now people can see the difference. But I had to fight with all of that, you know, to make people go, I started seeing and feeling what I do beyond the cliche of Latin music, right? And the only thing that I can say, for example, the reason, and let's see how can I say this in the, you know, in a way that doesn't sound weird, but the reason why I've been recognized, you know, from the Academy, you know, National Recording Academy of the United States, the Grammys, you know, for example, is because I feel, and Smith has a lot to do with this, again, because isolated, embrace your uniqueness, blah, blah, blah. They feel that I am bringing something new to Latin music. Mm-hmm. But because Latin music is new in Canada, sometimes Canada doesn't see it.
Yeah, a little behind.
You know. And I've been able to not focus on that and focus on what I want to do, of course, not let any fear or insecurity, you know, come to me, right? And just keep going, doing what I'm doing. I am very happy to be here in Smithers. And even myself, I think, how am I done this? You know, and sometimes it's difficult to answer, you know, even to myself, you know, myself. Because if you put it together, it doesn't make any sense, you know. Yeah. Sometimes,
yeah.
Sometimes it's like, how? What the hell? How?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I hope that what I'm doing at least inspire, you know, people to know that music is like any other career. It takes time, it takes dedication, it takes love. And the reason why you want to become a musician is because you absolutely know that you love music. From that point forward, if you want to be famous in 24 hours, then you don't love music. If you want to be rich in 6 months, then you don't love music. If you love music, then you're doing a service to humanity. You're putting yourself out there, and people are going to feel the love if you're honest with what you're doing, you know? That's it right there.
Cool. So last few years, we had pandemic. And you recorded an album, Mendo, here at your home in Smithers, in northern BC, and it ended up winning a Grammy.
Yeah.
Like you've won Latin Grammys before, but this was a Grammy for your album, a Latin album out of Smithers.
The American Grammy.
American Grammys.
We call it that in the music world, right?
Yeah. So it's not a small thing, and I would imagine that from the research I did, there didn't seem to be many examples of this, that someone has recorded a Grammy-winning album out of their home, especially in northern Canada. So that happened, and you followed up by building a proper studio that we're sitting in now. So maybe take me through, you know, you started writing and recording this album in your home. So how did this kind of germinate the origin of, I'm going to build a studio, and as you mentioned earlier, try to harness that vibe that you created with Mendo.
Great question, because definitely that was a lot of learning in the process and a lot of realization, I guess. It all started, I mean, the pandemic hits, and I had a massive tour lined up in the U.S. It was exciting in many ways because it was my first solo tour. I had like 18 shows across the U.S., in beautiful places. My first tour with my brand new agent that I started working with a little before the pandemic from the US, booking agent in the US. And I was super excited, it was gonna be amazing, you know? And all of a sudden I see the tour crumbling, you know, show by show, everybody canceling. I'm like, wow. And I'm not going to hide it from you that it threw me into a little bit of a weird, you know, mood, and this, you know, super dark cloud obviously came over me, and so I didn't know what was going on. I didn't want to even think about music for a bit. But Bill Withers passed away at the end of March on the 2020, right? And CBC Radio from Vancouver quickly gets a hold of me. I guess they got, you know, hold of a few musicians across the country, or maybe the province, telling us that they wanted to do this tribute show to Will Withers, and normally in normal times they will get everybody to come in and perform live, you know, record the song there, but because of the pandemic, you know, nobody was able to go into the studio, So they were asking musicians to record themselves and send whatever version of whatever their favorite song of Billy Withers was. I got the email, and my reaction was, nah, I'm not gonna do it. Because I wasn't happy. I was like, the world just ended, you know, whatever, right? And a couple of days went by, and my wife said, Alex, I think you should think about this. I think you should think and do it. Maybe you just find a fan, you know? It's like, and I said, you know, after a few hours, I said, okay, I'm gonna do it. But my studio was here in the garage. I had my equipment here. Oh, no, it was in the basement of my house because it was March, you know, it was just coming out of winter. And so I said, okay, I'm gonna do it, but I need to set up my studio somewhere. So I chose a corner in my living room with a corner desk, you know, that we have. Went to the basement and brought, you know, my little toys up and set up there. And I started working on just the two of us. My neighbor here had a, because she has a basement suite that she rents, and she had somebody there, and the guy was a mechanic, and he was fixing his diesel truck right in the driveway there. Now, the corner that I chose was that corner, right, on my living room, pointing to the house. And so he will work on the truck, turn around, leave it running for 40 minutes, and I'm like, oh, my God, when is he going to finish? Because it would be noisy, right? Oh, my God. And then he will go get in the truck, go around the block, you know, come back and leave it running for 30 more minutes. I'm like, what? What? Finally, he got to the end. I got going. I started liking it. I started believing in it. And at the end, when I finished it, because I said, well, I want to put a little spin of myself in there. I'm going to do a little Spanish in the middle of it, blah, blah, blah. So it was just simple version, just one guitar and one vocal, right? I finished it, and I made, you know, a rough mix, however best I could. And I emailed it to CBC at like 2 in the morning. Right at 9 o'clock the next morning, I got this email from them saying, Alex, this is beautiful, man. You brought tears to our eyes. This is so beautiful. Thank you so much. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's good. I don't know. You know? So I sent it to my engineer, to my mixing engineer, my rough mix. And he listened to it and he reacted to it. He said, man, this is beautiful. Wow, well done. If you want to mix it, let me know. This could sound, this already sounds beautiful, but with a good mix, it will sound even better, you know? Took a couple of days, and I said, okay, let's mix it. So I sent him these stems, one vocal and one guitar. I was quick. Man, he sent me a mix quite quickly. And I said, wow, I can't record myself. I got it. So I decided, I liked it so much that I decided to release it, right? Then that was the beginning. I didn't stop from that point forward. I got to the point where I was recording so fast, and this is something that I recommend to any self-produced musician, self-produced. Since you have a studio, minimize the time from when a musical idea lands in your mind and when you record it. If you can do that quickly, it's like catching lightning in a bottle. You catch electricity. I was one morning doing making coffee, you know, I get up in the morning, first thing is like, I go to grind my beans, you know, that I get at Janet's, you know, the whole ritual of the coffee, right, the morning coffee. Okay. And while I'm doing it, I started going, run to my bass that was in the other corner of the living room, grabbed it, started playing it, run to the computer, set up a session immediately, and started talking, kicking, found a tempo and everything, recorded it immediately. That ended up being the opening track of the album that won the Grammy. So it was obvious to me from that point forward that the type of musician that I am, you know, the type of creative person that I am, I need a studio. And Sarah said, yeah, you need a studio. We got to do it. You need a studio. And I'm like, okay. So it's funny because the morning after I won the Grammy, I had so many people writing to me so many amazing artists, you know, from the world running to me asking me to produce music for them. And I said, I'm glad I made the decision to have made the studio because this is becoming real. Producing for me is becoming quickly something so deep for me, so meaningful, so fun. I love working on my own. I love bringing something, you know, to life. I'm fascinated with the fact that you open up a session that is nothing in there, and 6 hours later, just by sending air through the microphone, you got a song there. That is magic. That is music is the biggest gift we got from God, in my opinion. And yeah, so that's how it happened. The pandemic, you know, I feel bad sometimes because I actually even said on the stage, I said, wow, guys, I have to say, I'm sorry if somebody had a rough experience with the pandemic or with some lost a member of a family or something. But I got to say, and this is almost ironic, I wouldn't be the same if the pandemic didn't happen, you know, because the pandemic woke things up in me. And all of a sudden, my Grammy says, artist, producer, engineer. I never, in my wildest dream, I would have seen that coming. You know, so thanks to the pandemic, I have to say, ironically, right?
Yeah, no doubt. So you built this studio. It's functioning now. What are some of the things that, you kind of mentioned them, but what are some of the things that you're getting into? You're getting into producing now. Now you have the facility to do it. You know, what does that look like, and how is this influencing now your creative flow? You kind of talked about it there, but how is it influencing your creative flow, and what's the opportunity? You know, like your family was here, and boom, recorded. You know,
exactly.
First time Your dad's been recorded. So I mean, like, it just opens up this huge door of opportunity to just bring in whoever you like, who's good enough to record. And do it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it definitely has set things up in a comfortable way to, and of course now the fight will be to remain creative, you know, because sometimes creativity is funny, you know? And I'm a big supporter of limitation. Limitation, if you use it right, it makes you find yourself. It makes you be unique. It makes you be you, right? And I learned this with, you know, the first engineer, co-producer that I was working with, Joby Baker, because I remember I showed up to record an album with him, and I had a list of like 20 musicians that I wanted to play with, and he was like, hold on a minute. Why so many? We can build this album between you and I. You play a few instruments. I play a few. Let's do it. And then I saw there clearly that when you use limitation to your advantage, you create something, and the people wonder how you do it. But yeah, like I said, now the fight is to remain. Of course, I'm going to remain creative. It actually has made me even more creative to know that I have the space and that I can run here anytime. One thing, though, that I'm enjoying is because, and maybe it has to do with the time of my career, the point in my career when I started producing, that I am now fortunate, so fortunate that people are coming at me looking for my sound. And that allows me, because when I made this room, when I got this room made by George, I promised something to myself. I'm only going to produce what I like. Meaning, I'm not gonna let the producing work, the job, or the producing side of me become a job. Because the minute that happens, then you run into having to produce something that maybe doesn't speak to you, maybe something that you are not feeling, you know? And I can't compromise that, you know? I think that's exactly how you run out of a vibe, you know? How do you forget what you feel for music, right? So I just produced an album. I produced 3 albums this year. I released 2 already, and 1 is on its way. My album that came out May 12th, I signed an artist for the first time, the first artist that I signed to my label, Sara 9, from Spain. I produced an album for him as well. We released it May 19th. And now this guy, David Lindes from Utah, from Salt Lake City, he came to me, you know, looking for my sound. One thing that I get told very often is that the way I utilize the concept of, you know, minimalist, like being minimalistic in music, is very unique and obviously effective. Not everyone knows how to use, how to approach music the way. I love doing more with less, because it makes singer sounds bigger. It makes the music be so clear and you know, it makes mixer sounds huge, because the less elements you have, the bigger you will sound, you know. And so he came to me wanting me to produce this music for him that is going to be part of an audio book. Every song is written after a story that he wrote. So the audio book, he tells the story and then comes the song. And that's what got me interested. You know, it's okay, we are not going to compete with music, and that's good. You know, maybe the audio book is... But, and I got going on it. He would send me the songs over his phone, recorded, you know, his phone. He plays guitar and synths. But they're super far from where I took them, right? So for me, you know, the challenge to do all of that, to arrange them and to bring, you know, it was an incredible thing. I started December 1st. I spent the whole winter here. By January, end of January, I was pretty nearly done with the album. But my engineer in Ontario, his father passed away, so we took a break. And so finally we have it done now. But I have enjoyed it so much. It's like producing my own music. And the fact that people come after your sound is quite a privilege, because it makes you function. You don't have to be anywhere else. You have to, and with complete creative freedom, of course. Mm-hmm. Man, it's like producing my own music. So I love this album as much as I love my own music, yeah, you know. Nice. And again, technology makes you be very functional from any point in the world. I'm in Smithers and I can produce somebody from Salt Lake City, yeah? Or Madrid, Spain, right. You name it, right? So I will create the track, then you know, and then send him an instrumental, and he's had a little setup in his house with an interface and a microphone. He actually bought the same microphone that I use. So what microphone do you use? And I'm gonna get one. You know, he went there and got, and it sounds beautiful in his voice. So he was, I was sending him the instrumental, telling him the BPM. And then he will send me vocals. I will mount it in my, listen to it. If something needed to be done a little better, I will say it. Many times he blew my mind, you're beautiful. Because there is something, and this, he completely proves it. And this is related now to technology, the facility that we have to record ourselves in our houses and all of that. He proved that without that much experience recording yourself, you can still do it. Because he did a beautiful job recording his inside. And before that, the plan was that he was going to go to the studio in Salt Lake City with my instrumental and get an engineer to record him. He'd send me two tracks like that. When I listened to it, I was so upset, because the engineer obviously didn't spend much time listening to his voice. The choice of microphone was kind of weird. His voice sounded super bright. And the performance wasn't as good. He didn't sound relaxed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I recommended to him, you gotta sing in your house. Mm. You gotta sing this in your house. And he did. And he sent me that first song recorded in his house. I jumped out of my chair. I was like, oh yeah, now we're talking, man. So technology is there is no excuses today than for musicians to not go live on Hudson Bay Mountain and pursue a music career from there. We can do it.
It's interesting, Alex. You know, the other two folks I spoke with that have, you know, similar studios in town, you know, they're working on several things, you know, working with artists here in the Valley, but also doing the same thing, working with artists from away that are seeking them out for various reasons. The serenity of the place, just, you know, they want to work with the right people. You seem to be doing the same thing, and you're now exporting this production out of Smithers.
Yes.
So Smithers is a production hub, it seems, you know, Spain, the US. And this is just the beginning. So what does this, having the space and doing the work that you're doing, what does it mean for a town like Smithers, little old northern BC?
I think, well, it clearly sends a message out to the rest of the province and to the rest of the world, even to the country and the world, that first of all, when you have a community that is healthy, because I find Smithers as a community, I find it healthy. I love the fact that I walk the streets of this place and people, you know, I know everybody, you know, people say hi on the street. I think, it makes people here proud, even more proud to live here, you know? And as that mountain in front of us adds magic to it, I think also to succeed in the, for years, scary industry of music, to succeed, to have people that are succeeding at it from here, I think it sends a message. The government of the province, the government of the country, better pay attention to Smithers and better take the model from Smithers, BC, and try to implement it in every other small town in Canada, because yes, it makes people love what they are. Yes, it makes people function and engage into this vibe of positivity and beauty. You know, music brings beauty to life. Music is not to be overlooked. Oh, my kid is the musician of the house. Oh my God, he's not gonna get a job. We're gonna have to maintain him. No, if there is talent, you gotta believe in talent, because God gives people talent for a reason. This is my opinion. That's why I think music is the biggest gift we got from God. And when you use the talent that you've been given to add to the, I don't know, what makes the universe, to add beauty to it, you're doing a service to humanity. So.
All right, Alex, thanks so much, man.
My pleasure, man. But it all starts and you know, begins with the belief. With one little idea, with one little spark, you know, a sparkle inside of you that says, I can do this. Yeah, no, I know we have the attention of the music industry in Canada now. And in fact, let me mention that the Junos are really going for a Latin music category now, which I've been talking to them for years, since I won my first Latin Grammy in 2010. Do you know how I call this place, right? You know that this place is called the Latin Music Capital of Canada? Did you know that? So it'll be my dream to somehow one day make it happen that the Junos take place in Smithers. Can you mind if we bring the Junos here? That would be insane cool, man. Holy shit. And if the Junos are cool, if there is somebody thinking there and it's a cool person, sees the opportunities everywhere, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, they will contemplate the idea because it's a beautiful place. You put that mountain on camera, you send helicopters up there, you take artists up there, you make, I don't know, you can improvise and do things, you know, and it would be amazing. The country will pay attention.
Right on, man. I love that idea. Junos and Smithers.
Yeah, man. That would be insane. Yeah.
Been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.